L-E-T-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Hey, welcome in to the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Fraser here with you on this Wednesday morning. We got 4 hours of Robbie and Rex Road today, baby. A special four-hour edition. We got our golf tournament going on today, benefiting Souls for Souls. So we'll, for today only, be on from 6 to 10 a.m. Joe, it's an exciting time today.
I don't know if I'm ready for this, man.
I was putting the show grid
I thought we were
together.
Going to 2 hours.
Yeah.
Can we go to 2 hours?
For a while, we were just getting airtime ripped away left and right, and now all of a sudden we're asked to fill 4 hours? What do we do about that?
I kind of like the idea of just kind of like a half hour, quick little podcast, get in and out, go about our day.
Here's the Robbie and Rex Road infomercial for today. 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
90-second, quick hit, and there you go. Here's a quick rant. Alyssa Milano, love you, and then get out of there.
Jason Bateman, stay away. See ya.
Milwaukee Admirals, work on that penalty kill. Good show.
Got all summer to work on it now.
Don't taunt the Admirals. That kind of sounded
harsh. I didn't really mean for it to come off that way, but it did.
Four-hour show. Let's stretch out our criticism of the Admirals for the whole show. We got a lot of things to get to on those guys.
We do. We'll space things out. We'll get to do all things Milwaukee Admirals today here on the program. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's a morning. Finding out that we're doing a four-hour show this morning. Probably was on an email I didn't see, but hey, we're here. We are here.
Yeah, there you go. You had stuff that was going on at 9 a.m., but I guess not anymore.
Not anymore, buddy. Okay. You'll be right here with us.
My sweet, old, reliable car will have to wait another extra hour and a half, maybe two or three, possibly five.
Oh, man. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. We'll have Alex Doherty from Penalty Box Radio joining us at 6:30. We'll get into the Preds with him, including a very interesting, rumor is what you call it, that we heard last night about UC Saros. So we'll get into that coming up. At 6:30 with
a
Alex.
Report.
Yeah, report. Yeah, report. Rumor. Yeah, okay. We'll see.
Is Pagnotta someone who would? Interesting. It's an interesting reaction.
He's had some good reports before. He's also had some where you're like, I don't know, man.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. Coming up at 6:30 with Alex. Tony Vitello, Tennessee Vols head coach, will join us at 8:15 today. So looking forward to that. And Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com, normally with us at 8 o'clock. Will join us at 9 today to discuss all things Tennessee Titans. So you look like you have a Kuharski story already.
Well, bumping Kuharski, how Kuharski is.
Well, the NFL is king of all sports.
And to bump him for college baseball?
Oh, it's pretty funny.
Sweet. Feels good, baby.
Maybe that's the first thing we'll ask him. Paul, your thoughts on Tennessee and the Super Regional?
Yeah, exactly.
Joe, speaking of minicamp, we had the first day of mandatory minicamp for the Tennessee Titans yesterday. You were there and have a laundry list of takes that we're going to get to from the Titans minicamp yesterday. But let's start on the Kevin Byard front. Kevin Byard was there. He was in attendance yesterday. He was on the field. Mike Vrabel talked after practice about how he looked like – I thought this line was awesome. He looked like he knew what he was doing out there and that he was in good shape. So it's good to know that Kevin Byard has somewhat of an idea of what he was doing out there at minicamp. But good to see Kevin Byard back out there. He did not speak to the media, which was – interesting yesterday with the Titans, but Kevin Byard back on the field nonetheless.
Yep, I was surprised by that. Everything, Byard out there was looked just like Kevin Byard, sounded just like Kevin Byard. He's out there, just about, anytime he came to the sideline, he's talking to somebody. Yeah, but see on this, when the quarterback, when he goes weeks, it's constant teaching out there, very valuable, not to mention being a really good player. I was surprised he didn't talk. I think he's going to talk at some. To me, it's just like, okay. So, look, full disclosure for me, I was going to write a column for The Athletic yesterday based on the interview with Kevin Byard.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to do it, today. Or I'll do it tomorrow. Or I'll do it whenever he talks. It's going to be all the questions and the conversation. And as soon as it happens, and to me, the whole thing ends. I know that some people at this station think that this is like some just incredible drama on both sides, like they're about to ship him or they just still want to cut his contract. No. It's
Vrabel and Byard going to square off at the 50-yard line on the practice field. Could be.
Well,
I wouldn't do that if I was Kevin Byard.
No, but he's probably get around him, you know.
Probably could.
Get around Vrabel. Yeah, but that was surprising. I think, you know, we'll see. I mean, maybe it's just like, you know what? Everybody's all geared up to do this today. I'm just going to take a day. And that's fine. And look, you could look. A couple things were discussed amongst media types yesterday. One is, do you think that the Titans made this decision and not him? I do not. To me, if anything, I'd go the other way and say him not talking almost kind of just puts a little exclamation point on he's not happy about how things went.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I would read it more than – and I don't think – if Kevin Byard wanted to talk to us, the Titans, first of all, would never be like, no, Kevin, no, you're not going to talk. And if they did, I don't think Kevin would say, well, I really wanted to, but okay, I'll just listen to you guys. I don't think so. I understand whenever something like this happens that you're surprised by, you immediately go to, okay, so how did this happen? Why did this happen? Is this person's decision? Did they talk him into it? I really don't think so. So I think he'll probably talk today and get it over with, and that'll be interesting. But, I mean, we're close to the end, I think, of this thing where it's – I mean, he's going to play on his contract this year. It's just what it is.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. Like, it's not the same thing as, like, a holdout from camp or something like that. Like, he's under contract. He has his money. They asked him to take a pay cut. And look, that would make me mad if I was Kevin Byard. And, you know, he didn't do it, obviously. And I think very rarely would I look at a player and be like, yeah, you should probably take a pay cut. Like, way to go, buddy.
Right.
Put the team first.
No.
So, like, you know, it's not a surprise that he said no to it. I would say no to it as well. So, but I can understand where, you know, depending on what that conversation was like with Rand Carthon, where some hard feelings come into play there. So, like, from the Titans standpoint, I'm with you. Like, to me, from the team standpoint, I probably would have rather him talked yesterday. Just go ahead and get it over with, and then you can move on at that point.
Like, I agree.
Because now here we are sitting here today talking about him not talking yesterday.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, we'll see how that goes. But, you know, yesterday actually was, like, defensive back news day.
Yep.
So, it appears Christian Fulton is holding in, I guess, if that's what you want to call it. And I think TD gets credit for, you know, reporting that he would be here. He was not out there. So, and that's the more traditional contract. You know, is he going to get extended or not? And I don't think he will.
It's kind of a bold move.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
If that's what he's doing, that's kind of a bold move.
Well, the thing is, it's not going to me matter. I mean, what's going to happen is, first of all, the Titans need him.
Yeah.
And so he'll play, and then they need him this year, and they need him to be good and healthy. And if he is at his best form and he's healthy, well, they might lose him after the season. But if I was them, I'd have a hard time giving him that second deal based on the lack of availability to date.
There's no chance. Like, I mean, this would be – and I know people get in their feelings and all that, and that's fine. But to me, they're like, this is a very short conversation with his agent. Buddy, there's not one chance you're getting a contract before the season starts.
Yeah.
Not one. Like, so, you have to be healthy and play.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's – yeah. And, you know, obviously, I mean, if you're the Titans, for the sake of this season, you'd rather the best-case scenario play out for him, and then, you know what, then he might be in his feelings and leave.
Yeah.
And that's the risk you take. But, yeah, like, I don't see how you can strike that deal right now. So, I don't know what this is really going to do for him. I don't know that it's going to, like, hurt him or anything, but I don't think this is really going to be very effective. And then also, by the way – the underrated big story of the day is Elijah Mould is on the field.
Yeah.
And Elijah Mould's not holding out. Elijah Mould is at OTAs. He's excited to play, wants to be out there, and he's not out there. And that is not good news. Again, well, that is apparently not good news. I don't know for sure what the situation is, but I don't know why that would be anything but injury. And that's a
right.
guy who obviously has struggled with that, has – went through a serious injury last year. Not nagging injuries, a serious injury that kept him out basically the whole year, and he's back off the field.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, and we've talked about the groin injury with him, and this is a really important year for him, and Fulton are kind of the two guys we've singled out in the secondary that need to stay healthy and have a productive year. And look, you know, I don't know that if everybody's out there and available and healthy, I'm not 100% sure that, you know, Molden's even a starter anymore for this team. He could be, but, you know, we asked Kaharski about it last week, and he said, you need to have McCreary in the slot, he'd have Murphy Bunting on the outside, and he'd have Fulton on the outside. So, I mean, I guess depending on who you ask, like, Molden may not even be a starter for this team right now. But got to get on the field.
Yeah, and even if that's the case, and that's fine.
He'll still play a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Different looks. He would be heavily in the rotation. So, and obviously then that's certainly your fourth corner at worst, and there's a gap after him.
The Fulton thing really bothers me. Yeah. Like, it really does. Like, it's if that's what he's doing and he's holding in at minicamp, like, to me, that's a tremendous lack of self-awareness on his part.
Well, or his agent's part. I mean, look, if you most guys, and I'd probably do the same thing. You know, lean on your agent.
Sure.
Right? You're gonna do whatever your agent says. I mean, I guess it's kind of like typical procedure in a situation like this. You're a high pick. You have played well. You know, I mean, you've demonstrated very good ability and production at times. This is the contract year. Nothing's coming. This is what you do. But yeah, I mean, it's like maybe the Titans will surprise us. Maybe I'm wrong. You're wrong, and they're actually like, well, boy, he's just too good, and they're gonna figure something out during camp. I'd be afraid of that because he's been hurt so much.
I mean, he has missed. I'm doing some quick math in my head. He has missed, I think, 22 games. In 3 years. That's a lot of football to miss.
Yeah, it's too much. And it's, you know, sometimes you have, like, again, like the Molden thing to me is different because it's one. Now, look, that may be a chronic thing too, but it's still like one very, you know, serious injury versus, again, the soft tissue nagging stuff that keeps coming up. And if Vrabel, one guy's gone.
Yeah.
Two guys were called out by Vrabel. One's gone. And here's the other guy. I mean, that tells me also that they don't consider him completely faultless on that.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We're off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. We'll have more thoughts from Titans minicamp day one coming up from yesterday. Next, this is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Day one of Titans mandatory minicamp is in the books. Joe Rex Road has a laundry list of takeaways from day one. Joe, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I don't know if I can get through this, but we'll try. And I haven't. I'm just going to go chronologically what I was scribbling down. And I'm not going to read out every word. Some of them I can't read very well. But I'll give you we'll go through yesterday. Okay. First of all, okay, let's start with one thing. We need to just go ahead and just embrace, like, Peter Skoronski is going to be this team starting left guard. I know that, poor Jared is just going to have an absolute heart attack. But you know what? Like, the idea, and I wish, frankly, the Titans would just be like, instead of saying, well, you know, we're going to compete and see how, I mean, there's no competition. Dillard is going to be a left tackle. Skoronski is going to be a left guard. Now, if Dillard seriously falters, maybe at some point you switch. Remember last year? You had Raidens in a certain spot, you know, and then Petit Frere eventually takes him over. I mean, that can happen, but let's not pretend like there's like a competition. Chris Harris he's fun. It reminds me a little bit of Coffee Guy. God, I'm forgetting names so often now.
Coffee Guy,
defensive backs coach a couple years ago. He went to Ohio State, didn't work out well. Thank you.
Coffee guy.
I mean, like, dude was out there with like 40 ounces. It was 40 ounces of coffee. He's just dribbling down. He's just like screaming. It was amazing. Chris Harris is fun to watch. He is an animated. So,
by the way, Chris Harris, defensive pass game coordinator.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. He's going to be a DC soon, and so that might be a one-year thing with him here. But there's a difference. It is interesting between him and how animated he is. And then, you know, Downing and Keith Carter both gone. It's more quiet on the offensive side. It's kind of an interesting little contrast there. A lot of fun yesterday watching Vrabel. I mean, this is some of the things. You know, if the Titans, they do some of these behind-the-scenes things. Just some of these conversations Vrabel has with guys in the middle of team and stuff is good. It's like super, super detailed football stuff. Like yesterday watching him talk to Simmons and Tart about just little subtle things that he's seen from the sidelines. And, yeah, it makes it entertaining. And it's impressive to me. Just the level of detail from a head coach on something
very descriptive language.
But not even that. Like, I mean, there's that at times too. But
just what he notices.
This was just like total football nerddom.
Yeah,
it was good. Okay. Burks looks good. Treylon Burks looks good. I'm going through. I got a lot of particular plays here, but Treylon Burks looks good. He looks fast. He looks strong. He looks physical. He looks like he knows what he's doing. So that's definitely something that keeps coming up. Tyjae Spears looks fast and explosive, and that he's all over the place, and they're using him in different ways. You know, Dontrell Hilliard was obviously very effective last year, key weapon before he got hurt. He'd probably love, because they're going to do some different things. This offense is different now. How different will it look on Sundays? I don't know, but I'd say it's going to be a little bit more creative, and they've talked about the tempo and stuff, but it's definitely different. I asked Derrick Henry after practice, what about when you run it's like the run plays or the run plays. It's here's outside zone, here's inside zone, oh, here's a gap scheme. You're going to notice the difference with the offense, I think, and everybody's talking about that. Rashad Weaver on a particular play just torched Dillard, speaking of left tackle, with a really nice inside twist. Derrick Henry at one point got a carry and, kind of busted through the middle. And, again, this is short. There's no tackling. But it was like, he looks pretty fast and in shape right now. Looks pretty good. Levis and Willis, first of all, the pecking order, Vrabel said what the pecking order was. And, when something changes there, then in camp maybe it will. With both of those guys, there's a massive gap between 17 and the other quarterbacks.
Yep.
That's something that's clear, okay? Some good things for sure from Willis yesterday. And then also a couple passes in particular, it's like, man, you got to hit that pass, and it sailed on him. And it's still sailing on him at times. And then, look, when they got into team, they were not afraid to send people, extra people at these quarterbacks. Again, no tackling. They're doing situation stuff. Okay, it's 3rd and 8. And sometimes it's just like randomly, okay, this is 3rd and 4, As Vrabel said yesterday, they've installed 1st and 2nd down offense. They're in the middle of 3rd down offense. Red zone is next. But with pressure, Willis, I still feel like, there was one play where he did a nice job. He saw the blitz. He waited. Got Racy McMath crossing. And it was a good play. But there was another one where it's just a little bit too ponderous. Like, you got to get, you got to get it out faster. Jonathan Ward. No one ever talks about him. He's fast, man. Like, he's fun to watch. Remember, he had, he was going to be one of the guys in the huge win at Jacksonville before it all disappeared on him late in that game. So, just an interesting thing. You got a bunch of backs out there. Jonathan Ward is, like, you notice him.
We have had some legendary John Wards in this state. Just pointing it out.
That's a very good point.
Thank you.
Levis had a really good you could tell he could see what the coverage was. He knew the outbreaking route was going to, was going to be there. Really good pass. Harrison, and I'm going to have to go get his first name, with the drop. But, it was a good
Platt. Marvin? Did they already get him?
Yeah. They snuck him out of college. Jeez. They snuck him out of college.
Way to go, Vrabel.
Yeah, a year early. How about that? See, that's what Vrabel is doing down there.
Got to love that pipeline.
Yeah. Way to go. Yeah.
They would let, well, someone's gonna hit the lottery with him. Treshawn Harrison, rookie from Oregon State. Got to catch that ball, but you know, it was pretty, there was a deep one, an extra rusher, and Levis let it go. Had Colton Dowell deep, just, you know, a little bit of a flat deep ball, threw it over his head. Good recognition, and Dowell, you know, looked fast in that play. Something I'm also noticing. I knew I wouldn't even get through this stuff. Something I'm also noticing with Burks and Tannehill, definitely not totally on the same page right now. Some plays for sure. There are a couple. There was one play where it's kind of like I don't know, some hand signal from Tannehill, like he, you know, basically he went in, should have gone out, ball hits the ground. So there's still, and is that the new offense?
Right.
I mean, I think that could be. An absolute, probably the wild play of the day was Tannehill to Chig on a deep shot. And my gosh, did he look fast. And ooh, he left Amani Hooker. And so that's,
he's going to be a problem for people.
Yeah, he is. That's a legit dude he beat. And it was interesting, too, because as soon as after that play happened, Hooker comes to sidelines and the DBs are talking. And it was like, what was that? Talking about like the route combo that ended up with Chig alone in the middle of the field. So, yeah, you know, I mean, the new, I don't want to oversell anything, but there seems to be some scheming of people open here. And yeah, Chig is going to be, like, I'd say right now, a little bit of a maybe fantasy sleeper this year. The way he's running, he's gotten bigger, but it doesn't seem to have affected his speed because, you know, he's got to be on the field more. He's got to be in line and, you know, and be able to handle that. On that play, you're like, whoa, dude, that's a tight end. So stay tuned on that.
We'll stay tuned on that. We'll have more takeaways from day one of mandatory minicamp for the Tennessee Titans from Joe Rexroad a little bit later in the show. So looking forward to that. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Alex Doherty of Penalty Box Radio. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators, including a very interesting report last night regarding UC Soros. We'll get into that and more coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Frazier here with you on this Wednesday morning. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our buddy Alex Doherty from Penalty Box Radio. Alex, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're great, man. Good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So we got a lot to get to with you here with the Preds. Let's just start on the Andrew Brunette front. Your impressions of Andrew Brunette to this point, what do you make of the hire by Barry Trotz?
I'm pretty impressed. You know, like you guys, I think I was pretty surprised that they did make this move when they did. You know, with every passing day that John Hines was not confirmed as, you know, this is going to be our guy, it was like, okay, I mean, it seems like that means they're going to make a change. But I did not see Andrew Brunette coming. I mean, it was a hire that in hindsight makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's like, you know, of course, Barry Trotz is going to get a guy that he's worked with. And of course, he's going to get a guy that has a track record. It's just a question of, you know, how much do you trust a track record of a guy that doesn't have much of a track record, even though it's a good one. So I think Brunette is probably going to come in and make a lot of people happy. I think there's some things to think about, you know, what do they sacrifice in making yet another coaching change this quickly after, you know, having just recovered from the last days of Peter Laviolette and finally deciding, you know, that this core of players is not where they want to be. All the players that were there at that press conference, you know, you guys saw them there, are guys that they need to step up. It was like Duchesne there. The only one that wasn't was Johansson. But, like, you know, those guys were there listening to Brunette and Barry Trotz say things like, this, you know, we want this team to be fun, and we want playing hockey to be fun, but there's some serious things that need to change moving forward if they're going to be successful. So do I think he's going to do a good job? Yeah, I think he will. I think like Joe, I know at least has said this, I don't think John Hines did as bad of a job as people think. I think he got a pretty raw deal in a lot of ways. He definitely made some huge mistakes, but Brunette will be, could potentially be a, game-changing kind of coach if he can prove that over the long term he has what it takes. You know, he's not going to have Jonathan Huberdeau and Alexander Barkov on his team. He's going to have some other players. So we'll see how it goes. I'm optimistic at the very beginning that Brunette will do a pretty good job.
What about just the style of play, which obviously, Barry Trotz made a big deal out of that. And I think fans probably like hearing that. But do you believe, you think next year we're going to watch this team with still largely, a lot of the same guys, and we don't know all the moves that are going to take place between now and then. But do you feel like it's going to be a discernible difference in style of play?
Well, so here's what happens in the NHL. I feel like I've noticed that every single time there's a new coach that comes in, everyone is just like, oh, this guy, he's going to unlock the offense. He's going to let the horses, roam out of the barnyard, and they're just going to it's going to be a offensive juggernaut for the first little bit. It feels like it's always like that, but you rarely see a new coach hired and the narrative is he's going to lock down the defense. We're going to start controlling the scoreboard a little bit better. I do think that it'll be better. The problem is we don't really know anything about what kind of an offense Brunette wants to bring in. I mean, the 1 year that he had in Florida, he was basically running Quenneville's offense and he's running Quenneville's team. He just had to manage it. He didn't have to install an offense. He didn't have to figure out what the power play should look like. He just had to kind of maintain it. And what kind of, when you think about what kind of offense or what kind of team a coach has, there's questions like, okay, how often do they pressure? What does their forecheck look like? Is it really high pressure or is it selective? Or is it more of a sit back and counterattack kind of thing? What's he going to do? I kind of think it's going to be more of a high pressure system that allows players to really force the other team to make decisions quickly. But I don't know. I mean, your guess is as good as mine. We're going with a guy that doesn't have any kind of thing on the books as this is what he's good at or this is what he knows how to do. Even though John Hines had problems with some of his system going on, we at least knew what was going on. We knew kind of what to expect. We really don't know what to expect with Brunette, I think.
Alex Doherty with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Alex, there was kind of an interesting report last night that David Pagnotta of the Fourth Period had, and it goes back to the trade deadline this year, talking about UC Saros. And, obviously L.A. made a move at goaltender. They brought in Corpusalo, and Jonathan Quick was on the move. And we saw what happened. Kings made a decent run in the playoffs. They gave up a good fight against Edmonton, but didn't have enough to get out of the first round. But the report last night, quote, the Kings Predators had discussed a trade involving goalie UC Saros during the season prior to L.A. landing Corpusalo/Gavrikov. A package involved multiple first/prospects. I'm curious if L.A. revisits these talk this month or if that ship has sailed. This was from David Pagnotta of the Fourth Period. So what do you make of that report, and what do you make of the idea of the L.A. Kings being interested in UC Saros?
Man, I love this kind of report. I think this kind of report is so much fun for off-season fodder because it's not, so David Pagnotta, as you know, he's not the top guy when it comes to breaking news. It's not like this is Elliot Friedman or Frank Saravalli or someone. If one of those guys had said it, there'd be a 5-alarm fire right now. I mean, it would be like, oh, they're going to move him today. But it's not nobody. I mean, it's like I think this report tells you that there probably was a conversation. This is not some Redditor that just got a Twitter account and decided to start a rumor. So, but let's think about what he's saying. They had discussed a trade involving goalie UC Saros during the season. That could mean so many different things. Maybe there was a phone call where Well, first of all, we don't know if he talked to David Poyle or if he talked to Barry Trotz. I mean, how early did this phone call happen? How, you know, what kind of conversation was this? But let's assume it was David Poyle, just to be just for this conversation. Was it just, you know, hey, you know, what would you want for UC Soros? And he's like, oh, a couple picks for the prospect. All right, we'll call you back. Was it that, or were there prospects and draft picks on the table ready to go, and then the last second it was pulled? Or were they talking to Barry Trotz and David Poyle was like, I don't know if we want to do this. You know, there's so many different factors. That's why I love this kind of report, because it makes a lot of sense. I mean, think about the fact that the trade the Kings made yesterday was cleared up just enough cap room to sign about a $5 million player,
yeah,
or to get a $5 million player. I mean, they cleared at about $5.5 million worth of cap room, and UC Soros' contract is $5 million. So, man, it's just like I would think that – now, the fit on for the Predators, it makes a lot of sense too, right? I mean, this team's not going to be very good if they don't have UC Soros, but maybe that's what they want. So there's that side of it too. But I don't know. There's something to this. Don't know if it'll come to fruition, but that was a bombshell that I saw last night.
So it sounds like you would be, if you were in charge, Alex, you'd be actively looking, or at least open to moving Soros. And if so, what do you think is the proper return?
I would say right now in the off season, you could get probably at least two picks. One of them, at least a first rounder, and then a really good prospect. I mean, I think that's what they would want for the Kings. I think you could ask for an Arthur Kaliev. You could ask for a Quentin Byfield. I mean, something like that. A really good player who's ready now. Or they have a Brant Clark's a really good defensive prospect for them. You'd have to get someone that was good. I mean, you're not getting some guy who's tooling around in the AHL. Someone who is a legit prospect, because UC Soros is obviously one of the best goaltenders. You know, people talk about the first round. I mean, I don't think the Kings have a first round, do they? Their pick situation's not quite like Nashville. The picks, you know, I don't think you're going to want to, they don't have a first round pick for this year. They got one for next year, but I think you're going to get picks. You're going to get at least a couple players in the NHL ready to go who are cost controlled. And then you're going to get probably someone else. So 3-4 pieces, I would guess, at least.
Yeah. It's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. Alex, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Definitely. Hey, by the way, Joe, I've got a Milwaukee Admirals hat. We went to Milwaukee last year.
Nice.
Last week, so I've got it. I couldn't get a jersey for you. We didn't have that in the budget. So we'll make sure and bring you the Milwaukee Admirals hat next time I see you. Okay?
Oh, my God. That is so fantastic. I'm so mad. I meant to ask him about the Admirals penalty kill. God dang it. All right. I know. I appreciate the hat. And, yeah, we'll get into that next time. Thanks, buddy.
That's good. Next time, we'll just do only Admirals.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
That.
That's what
missed
we're here
opportunity.
For. Come on. Alex Doherty of Penalty Box Radio, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your thoughts on the Pred. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A really interesting report last night from David Pagnotta of the Fourth Period on UC Soros. We'll get into that coming up next. Was this a one-time visit of an offer from the LA Kings this past season? Or is this something that maybe could get picked up this summer? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball, a doubleheader today at 11:05 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Sounds Baseball, 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. So, first off, thanks to Alex Doherty from Penalty Box Radio for being our guest in the last segment. An interesting report from Dave Pagnotta last night, Joe Rex Road, in regards to the future of UC Soros and maybe some interest that the LA Kings had this past season with UC Soros. And the report, again, from Dave Pagnotta of the Fourth Period says, quote, "The Kings/Predators had discussed a trade involving goalie UC Soros during the season prior to LA landing Korpisalo/Gavrikov. A package involved multiple firsts and prospects. I'm curious if LA revisits these talks this month or if that ship has sailed." This was the report from Dave Pagnotta of the Fourth Period last night. So what do you make of that? Because the first reaction I had to it last night, Joe, was
LA was a team you and I talked about when we were, you know, when the deadline came around and the Predators had made it clear that they were starting to sell off. We wondered, like, would UC Saros be a part of it? Now, obviously, ultimately, he wasn't. But L.A. was a team at the time that made a lot of sense. And then they made the move to go get Corposalo, and that told me that Saros was off the table at that point. But now that the offseason is here, and as Alex said in the last segment, they have cleared up a little bit of money, do you think that this could be something that L.A. tries to revisit this summer?
It's intriguing. Very intriguing. Yeah, it's interesting with the – like Alex said, like, the what does a conversation mean? You know, and also, like he said, yeah, if it's Friedman, LeBron, Saravalli, then it's – I mean, I guess if it's awarded the exact same way, it doesn't – you know, I mean, it could, like, it could still be open for interpretation, but I right. think it would be taken more seriously and more urgently, right? But, it could, yeah, it's like, are we talking about – you know, someone mentioned a conversation. It's like the Derrick Henry thing at the combine. It's like, okay, so are you shopping to the point of like, I got to unload this guy. What do you give me? Or is it kind of like, hey, you know, I have a conversation about Derrick. Sure. What do you think? You know, like how intense, how specific are these conversations?
Right.
We don't know that. But like you said, we talked about it before. It makes sense. And it could make sense now. So, sure, I could see it. And I agree with Alex. By the way, it's exciting that, you know, Alex and Sean Smith doing Penalty Box Radio. That
for sure.
Justin Bradford has kept it going. I mean, created a great thing, and those guys are going to be awesome. And we look forward to having Alex on here more. But and especially, we need more Admiral segments.
We do.
For sure. But no, I mean, I like what he said about, you know, like so at least high-level – prospects as well involved in a hypothetical deal here for Saros. Like, you got to have some, like, that's as I was saying yesterday, like, you got to have some more proven than just, you know, a haul of picks. Preds have a haul of picks.
They do. I mean, they've got 7 picks coming up in the top 83. The interesting part about LA, which, as he mentioned, and I'm going to double check this because I think that I'm right in saying this, but they don't have a first round pick this year. So if you're doing it this summer, like, would you – like, I guess my question is, does that make it less of a possibility, like a less attractive package that L.A. can offer you?
Because then you trade them Saros, and then they're, like, really good because they have Saros, and then you have a crappy pick next year.
Right.
So, yeah. Maybe.
Well, look, and they're a team that, you know, one of the things you ask – one of the things that I always think about when somebody discusses trading UC Saros – because UC Saros, I think you and I would both agree, obviously number one is good enough, but number two is young enough where a team acquiring him doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, a cup contender next year. But to me, like, if you're going out to make the move to acquire the goaltender, it's probably because you think you're a goalie away from being a cup contender next year. So, I mean, you look around and you're like, okay, well, who is that? Like, who are teams that are a goalie away that can afford UC Saros' contract and are willing to give up the capital to get him? L.A. is like one of the few teams that comes to mind there. That's why we talked about him at the deadline and why, you know, if this report is accurate and there was interest there on L.A., which, like, I have no problem believing that. Like, if you're looking for a goalie and you think there's a chance UC Saros might be available, why would you not call about that if you're L.A.?
Right.
I mean, it makes a ton of sense. So I have no doubt that there was interest from L.A. side. The question is there any interest at all from the Predators side? Like, you know, Barry Trotz went on Jared's show last week and talked about, you know, how if somebody puts together a good offer, they'll be open to it and they'll be listening on things. But is what Pagnotta floated out there of multiple first/prospects, is that a quote-unquote good offer in the opinion of Barry Trotz? And I thought Alex brought up an interesting point. Like, who was L.A. talking to? Was it mainly David Poile and he was the one making decisions? Was it Barry Trotz? I mean, my guess is it was probably David Poile, considering he was the general manager at the time. And it was David Poile in lockstep with Barry Trotz on that, or is Barry Trotz maybe a little bit more open to the UC Saros conversation? I don't know.
Barry Trotz does not take over until July 1st. He makes moves until then, Robbie. What are you talking
about? I can't believe they let him talk at the press conference last week.
Well, Poile was up there, and it was like a puppet. He was just basically like making him say what Poile wanted him to say.
Yes.
No, that's a good question. I, you know, it feels like the trading deadline was like Poile's, you know, parting gift to Nashville. You know, drop the mic, he advocated for Ronnie Hextall to go get the Kings GM job real fast, you know, so he could, you know, have even more fun around the deadline. No, I think Poile probably would be my guess. But I mean, I kind of thought about all of those moves at that time as those guys collaborating. Why can't we use the word collaboration with this franchise
it's a new buzzword
as well? Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. And I guess the question is, I think we would all agree, if you trade UC Saros now, like, Ascaro's probably not ready. He's probably not ready to be an NHL starter. So, you've signed Kevin Lankinen. You could go that route and then bring in another backup outside the organization. But I guess my question is, like, if you're going to do that and you're going to do it now, you probably recognize, if you're Barry Trotz, that next year is not going to go very well for you. And it may not anyway. I mean, you've got a lot of younger guys coming in. I think this is going to be a pretty young team next year based on the moves that they made at the deadline and some of the conversations that Barry Trotz has had so far this summer. So, I think, look, there's a chance that they're not very good next year anyway and that they're probably at best a bubble team if UC Saros is on the team. But if you're Barry Trotz, like, do you have any appetite right now to trading away UC Saros? And essentially at that point, at least in my opinion, probably forfeiting any chance you got to make the playoffs.
Well, like Alex said, maybe they're okay with.
Yeah.
They've been this. No matter what you got out there on the ice, you know, Saros is going to make sure, you know, you're not going to be terrible. So maybe the hard reset or whatever the heck is happening right now or whatever you want to call it could use 1 year of sort of transition at goal and another high pick next year and a real opportunity to look at young players without really worrying about a playoff race and all that stuff. Now, I know there's some people in that organization and ownership group prior don't like the sounds of that.
No.
And I don't know that that's the plan, but you could make a case for it.
You could make a case for it. Now, there's also a chance when I hear this report and it says that the Predators and LA Kings discussed a trade, I mean, there's also a chance the conversation went a little something like this. Hey, David, so we're thinking about maybe trading for UC Saros. What would that require? And then David Poile lists like some astronomical price, and they're like, okay, thanks. We'll see you. And then they went off and they traded for Unis Korpisalo. So,
yeah.
I mean, it could have been it literally could have been a 15-second conversation. Who knows?
I'm sure. Look, I don't doubt Pagnotta is not just shooting from the hip here, right? But I bet you there's other conversations around the league that were, you know, that could come to light that were the same type of conversation, right?
I don't
if that's what it was.
I don't know this, but my guess is when it became clear that the Predators were selling off, I would imagine that David Poile got quite a few calls about UC Saros.
I mean, I would hope so. Wouldn't
just
it be
a check, right?
Wouldn't it be like bad GMing to not?
Yes. So look,
unless you're in a great situation and goal, obviously.
Right. I'm not saying that, you know, 30 teams called him at the deadline, but I imagine he got a few calls about UC Saros. And obviously they held on to him, so they like UC Saros. There's no question about that. And look, we keep talking about UC Saros being the one that gets traded. I mean, maybe that is not a part of their plan at all. They may look at it and say, nope, we're pretty certain what we have there.
But see, Trotz's answer to Jared, I don't think that's the case.
I don't think it is either.
I mean, Jared took it way too far and said, oh, yeah, he said he'd trade it for the number three pick. No, he didn't at all say that. But I think he did open the door, right?
Yeah.
To something.
So. Yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the UC Saros situation. What do you make of the report that the LA Kings were interested over the summer? Do you think that's something the Predators should entertain this summer? Excuse me, they were interested in the trade deadline. Should they entertain it this summer? We'll get into that a little bit more coming up next. We'll also get back into the Titans coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.